Well, good to be here again. Amen. Man, I was thinking about what we talked about this morning. This life that we live and the battle that we're in, because we are in a spiritual battle, to be all that God wants us to be. And the biggest battle you'll face is not necessarily the devil, but you. It's you. We struggle with ourselves our whole lives. It's frustrating. Have you ever gotten mad at yourself? Come on. I mean, I do. I get mad at myself. I get more mad at myself than anybody else. There's times I just want to, you know, like dork slap. I called it a dork slap, you know, where you just hit somebody on the front of the head. We used to do that when we were kids, when it, you know, just whack, wake up, you know. But, you know, sometimes I feel like doing that to myself because it's just, I get frustrated with me. I have this desire to be everything God wants me to be. But sometimes Vern gets in the way. You have the same problem? Yeah? So I've discovered the answer to that. I have. And it's called, well, I'll tell you a story that kind of leads to that, okay? When I was a young youth pastor, I started off as a youth pastor for my dad, okay? easy hire for me. Anyway, came out of Northwest and went right to being a youth pastor for my dad. The hard part was learning to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Can I just tell you that the gifts of the Spirit are not just for church? They're for everywhere. In fact, I think they're more for out there than they for are in here. Okay? The first time I allowed the Holy Spirit to just use me was scary for me. Okay? Because, well, it happened like this on a Sunday morning. I was the worship leader. I play guitar, so, you know, and sing. So I just finished leading worship, came down, and when I came down off the platform, this lady stands up. Now, this lady had only been coming to the church for a couple weeks, older, about my age now. She was in her 60s, you know. I was like 22, and she stood up and just said, I need prayer. I found out this week, she's a brand new Christian. I found out this week I'm dying of cancer. I have lung cancer. She had smoked her whole life. She's like, my lungs are full of cancer. Doctors have given me 3 months to live. I want you to pray for me. So we had a great church. Our church just jumped up. Man, the whole church gathered around this lady, and we laid hands on her, began to pray. Okay, my dad leads out in prayer, and I'm just believing God's just going to do this awesome thing. But right when we're finishing praying, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, Vern, put your hand back on her forehead and yell at the top of your lungs in the name of Jesus now. Have you ever argued with God? Amen. I've argued with God a lot of times. It doesn't work. God doesn't argue. He doesn't. He repeats. So what I said, though, is, God, my dad just prayed. It was a good prayer. Just take it. Just take it. I believe. I believe. And God just repeated, Vern, put your hand back on her forehead and yell at the top of your lungs in the name of Jesus now. I said, but God, I have a loud voice. If I do that, people are going to look at me. See, and back here on the back of my head, too, the thought is, I'm going to look stupid because nothing's going to happen. See, because that's the flesh part. But God doesn't argue. He just repeats again. Fern, put your hand back on her forehead and yell at the top of your lungs, in the name of Jesus now. By that time, when I looked up to look at her, everybody had went back to their seats except for me, her, and my dad. And I'm like, oh boy. But I did it. I put my hand on her forehead and I yelled at the top of my lungs. You want to hear me? Okay, no mic. Bam! I mean, she bounced on the floor. Her head went. And I'm like, Jesus, I've killed her. I mean, that was the first thought that hit my head. You know, I was like, oh no. Because I'd never prayed for anybody and they went kaboom, you know. And I mean, she didn't. Nobody caught her. There were no catch. My dad believes catch. If you need caught, it's not God. That's what my dad believes. If you need somebody to catch you, it's not God, because if you hit the floor and it's the Holy Spirit, it'll never hurt. And she just bounced. I mean, and when you're up in your upper 60s, almost 70, bouncing on the floor is not good. Okay? But she just laid there like she was dead. And I'm just standing there going, Jesus, 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 like praying that she's alive, you know? And suddenly she just... Okay, she had never done this before. Suddenly, she shoots her hands up in the air and begins to speak in other tongues. Amen. And I was like, well, that's cool. That's good. That's good. Do you know that God healed her instantly that morning? I mean, she lived till she was in her 90s. But when she went back to the doctor said, I don't understand, but you have a brand new set of lungs. That's the first time I ever stepped out. And it's scary, okay? But the problem is God doesn't want us to lean on our own understanding. He wants to trust the Word. Our brains try to rationalize everything. We struggle with everything. We rationalize God. We try to figure out God all the time. Well, I have people talk to me all the time. Well, I don't see God that way. And I'm like, but the Bible says this. If the Bible says this, it's just like one time when I was early on as an evangelist, I was helping a guy in his orchard who was a commercial fisherman. While he was gone, I would work in his apple orchard and kind of take care of it. He had two little boys. The little boys, one of them was having a birthday one time, and the lady, their mother, is a school teacher. All her friends are school teachers. All their friends are teachers' kids. And they were all over, and I was trying to stay away, you know, and suddenly but one of the little boys comes running out, Vern, you got to come in and have some birthday cake. And I'm like, I don't want to go in there. It's a bunch of women. This is in my brain. I'm not saying to him, bunch of ladies and little kids, and I'm like, I'll feel uncomfortable. But they begged me, so I went in. I'm eating this cake, and one of the teachers goes, I hear that you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I'm like, yeah, that's what the Bible says. And they're like, well, I don't know how any educated person could believe that. I like how she added the word educated, which means she was saying, I'm a dummkopf, dumb. You know, because I believe something. I just looked at her and I said, listen, Jesus said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into the Father except through me. So either Jesus is a liar, or he's who he says he is. There is no in between. So you can believe what you want. I'm going to believe Jesus. And she goes, well, maybe a different translation says it differently. I said, I've studied Greek. I've studied Hebrew. It says the exact same thing. You can try to get around it all you want. Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the only way to heaven. And all the teachers are looking at her like, how are you going to argue with this one? It was a good one. So she changed the subject, which is what they do, and immediately went to tithes. My church believes, my pastor teaches, that you only have to tithe 8%. I said, my Bible doesn't say that I have to tithe anymore, but it says all my money is his. So I owe him everything. I said, so maybe your pastor's got it wrong on the 8%. 10% was the only thing it talked about. But I mean, if you want to go to the New Testament, God says, all my money is his and I owe him everything. And she's like, you're weird. I said, because I believe the Bible. And here's what you have to do as a Christian to walk in the Spirit. You have to walk in the Word of God. You cannot walk on your own strength or in your own thinking or what you want to believe. You have to follow the Word of God, period. Amen? Okay, so here's a scripture, and I love this scripture. And my iPad got tired of me telling stories and shut down. So here we go. Galatians chapter 5. And I love how Paul writes this. The church in Galatia is struggling. I'm too far away. I'm coming down here. See, in my church, I walk around all the time. I have ADD. I've told you that. I can't hold still. My mom, when I was little, used to grab my leg constantly. Still, still. Or she'd pull my hair. She'd have her hand behind me. She'd grab my hair. Still, quiet, shh. That's all I heard all of church. Because I just can't hold still. So it's still my problem. When I'm worshiping, I want to stand because I kind of want to move a little bit. And my hands are always moving. I play guitar, which is really nice because I can do this and it kind of pumps a lot of it off. You know, so that's a good thing. But, man, I have a hard time. But I love Galatians. Galatians is this church that's struggling. And Paul says, you know, they've been struggling with the flesh, which is exactly what we struggle with. We struggle with the flesh. And Paul writes this in Galatians 5. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I want you to listen to that. We're going to read a little bit more, but that's powerful. My flesh struggles against the Spirit. It doesn't want it. That my very flesh struggles against allowing the Holy Spirit to move in my life. Not just move. I want you to get a certain word that is used. It says walk by the Spirit. The word walk in the Greek is, and I don't know how to pronounce this. I've been out of college for like 50 years, so not quite that long. But anyway, it says, I think it's doichio. And it literally means this, which means walking in a line, and I love this part, or proceeding under someone's control. Do you get that? So walk in the Spirit, which means walk under someone's control. So he says this, the flesh and the Spirit are opposite. Now the works of the flesh are evident, he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. You ever get angry and have a fit? That's not God. Anyway, rivalries, dissensions. Do you know what a dissension is? Arguing amongst yourselves. Somebody rising up and talking bad behind somebody's back. Have you ever had somebody do that as a Christian? That's not of the Spirit, okay? That's flesh. And then it goes on. Divisions. God doesn't like them. Envy. Drunkenness. Orgies. Things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, these are strong words, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See, God wants us to let go of yourself. That's not easy, because the old part of you wants to keep coming back. So if you're not under someone's control, the Holy Spirit, if you're not under the Holy Spirit's control, then it's going to be you leading the way. And with most Christians, That's the way it is, to be honest. So how do you let the Holy Spirit be in control of you? Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because salvation, the Holy Spirit starts moving in your life. That's just a fact. Amen? It is, because you couldn't get saved if the Holy Spirit wasn't moving in your life. He's the one that draws us. He's the one that touches our heart. He started working on you before you ever believed in him. And he started pulling you toward him. And then he's the one that starts working in your life. So the Holy Spirit's been working in your life for years before you ever accept him. I have this friend in our church. His name's Jim. And Jim was an alcoholic for years. Just controlled, lived on the streets in Seattle. And he had no house. He was homeless, lived on the streets, alcoholic. And he got invited to church one day and got saved. Okay, walked out of church, started preaching to everybody to get saved. And next thing you know, he's drinking again. But the Holy Spirit never gave up on him. Suddenly, some guy introduced him to AA. And next thing you know, he went to an AA. And he's been going to AA ever since, following Jesus and growing in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is constantly working on us to change us to be more like Jesus. But the hard part is giving up control. See, James talks about your mouth. How many have found that your mouth is the hardest thing to control? Come on. Do you ever say something and you wish you would have never said it? It just pops out and you're going, oh, Lord, what have I done? You know, kind of thing. But it's too late. I've always wished I had sort of a rewind, you know, because I've said things and went, oh, I wish I could just take it right back, but you can't. You're stuck. Once you say it, it's out. It's in the world. It did its damage. Your tongue, the Bible says, James says, it's the hardest thing to control. In fact, it is impossible, the Bible says, James says this, it's impossible for you to control. Impossible. That means by your flesh, you can't do it. Can't. Isn't it amazing that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, then you would speak in a language that isn't you, but it's God speaking through you? I mean, that is the coolest thing. I had a young person, I was speaking at a junior high camp. We had just talked about the Holy Spirit. The very next morning for breakfast, this question pops up. I'm sitting at this table with all these junior hires. Must have been about 50, but I was 50 junior hires along this table. But I'm mostly with this group of boys, okay? And this one boy asks this question in front of all his friends. He goes, so, I don't get it. Why does God give us a language we can't understand? Why couldn't we just understand it? And this little boy across from me gave the best answer I have ever heard. He said, if you could understand it, then you would begin to control it. And it would no longer be the Holy Spirit. It'd be you. And I was like, oh, man, that is powerful, kid. Where did you hear that? That is awesome. He said, my pastor said that. I said, your pastor's right on. Because, see, God wants us. He wants us to give up control to him. Because I can't be everything God wants me to be on my own strength. I just can't. My wife loves yard sales. She loves these things. I'll be honest with you. I hate yard sales. I hate them. You know, for one thing, men don't sell their stuff. The only reason you find, see, I like tools. The only reason you'll find tools at a yard sale is the man is dead or the wife stole them. That's it. Men do not sell their tools. They get more. You can never have enough tools, ever. I mean, as soon as I get a new pipe wrench, I want a different one. I want more tools. I love tools because you never know when you're going to need that tool. So I'm always looking for more tools. So when I'm at a, I don't go to yard sales because, well, mostly, I'm bothered by wearing other people's clothes. I'm sorry. It's just, my wife isn't, though. My wife loves them. So I'll, like, drive up and let her off. She likes used stores. She loves those things. I just drive up, park in the parking lot, and let her go. You know, I'm fine. I don't need to be there. My wife says things like this when she brings her stuff back. She's like, isn't this just darling? And I'm like, what does that word mean? I don't use the word darling. I don't. I don't pop up the hood on my F-350 and go, isn't that the most darling 7.3 liter diesel you have ever seen in your life? I don't. I would never even think that. I don't fathom that. It's just like, when she says the word darling, I'm like, what does that mean? I don't get it. It's not in my vocabulary. She has tried to get me to understand her. I can't understand that side. I can't. It's not in me. The thing is, God can change me to be like him when there's no way I can be like him. I can love like him, which he lists that first, Paul does. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then, have you ever met somebody that's impossible to love? I mean, just pushes door buttons. Come on, you have to. How many of you met somebody who's just hard for you to like even? I mean, you just, the rest of you are lying. You know, everybody's met somebody like that that just bugged you, just pushed you the wrong way. And you're like, the amazing thing about God's love, though, it can even love those people. I mean, suddenly you just love them. You look at them differently. You look at them and you just go, man, when God gives us his love, his joy isn't just when things are going good. It's when things are going bad. You know, you could just, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm going up Snoqualmie Pass one time. Blewett Pass, sorry. Blewett Pass. I'm going up Blewett Pass heading towards Cle Elum. And I'm following a semi. It's snow on the sides of the road, but the road is just wet. This semi will not get over to the right lane. He is hogging the passing lane. Will not get over. I'm getting frustrated. My flesh begins to take over. Okay? I'm struggling with it because I'm getting a little bugged by this. Finally, I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to pass you on the other lane. So I get in the right lane, and I start to go by him. I am just to the point where I'm almost past him in my little Pontiac Grand Prix at the time when he decides to come back over. He clips the rear end of my Pontiac Grand Prix at 64 miles an hour. I'm going 64. He clips my back tire. Have you ever started going 360s at 60 miles an hour? I did. He launched me right in front of him, which is amazing because every truck driver I've talked to said he should have sucked you right into him and ran right over the top of you. But instead, he launched me into a spin. So I'm spinning across into the other lane, the oncoming traffic. But God is good. There's no oncoming traffic. None. And I get to the other side of the road, and suddenly, and this is impossible, I stop doing 360s, and I start just sliding sideways. That is impossible unless you hit something. Only God could have done that. So I'm sliding sideways, and I'm slowly losing all my momentum, just sliding sideways, and I suddenly just go forward. Now, see, that's impossible. Again, too, you'd have to hit something, and I didn't. Suddenly, I just go straight right into a snowbank, and honestly, the only dent in the car was where the truck clipped the rear end. I get out of the car, and I'm like, amazing. I mean, it broke two struts. It's not drivable. You know, the back tire is like tipped in. So I'm like, I can't believe this. You know, and I'm wondering, because I'm on my way to I'm supposed to interview future pastors, okay? So I'm on my way for interviews. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Next thing I know, I'm waiting for a wrecker. Truck driver stopped and helped me out, and he called for help, and he was really good. He was awesome. He was blaming himself the whole time. It's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I shouldn't have gotten impatient and passed you on the right side. Anyway, let me tell you how God works. I get a ride down the hill. By the time I get down the hill, it's getting late. A pastor picks me up from Wenatchee, takes me into Wenatchee. And I figured I'm not going to make it to the interviews. I called, let him know I'm not coming. But I'm not home either because I don't have a car. So I was going to spend the night at a friend that I have in Wenatchee. So this pastor took me to his house. Now, I have known this man since we were little kids, okay? We did tricycles together that long, okay? He is a chiropractor. And over the years, his hands have started hurting. So since he has ways of doing this, he started just taking Oxycontin on his own. He got addicted. I didn't know this. So when this pastor friend and I knocked on his door, his wife answered, and she's bawling. They had just put him in a drug rehab place, Christian drug rehab place, without his permission. His parents and her had forced him into this drug rehab. And this pastor and I show up at the door right after she got home. See, God had a plan. And it had me stopping on the middle of Blewett and get me down there so I would be at that lady's door and we could lay hands on her and pray with her. Just, I mean, what a crazy thing. Why didn't he just tell me? You know, because I probably in my flesh would have argued and went, nah, I'm on my way to do something that God wants me to do because that's my job. So instead, God forced me. Have you ever had God force you to do something? See, God's trying to get you to stop. He wants you to stop making him do that. He wants you to get to the place where you just do it. You just do it. When I was still on the road doing evangelism stuff, my mom's brother, who was 88 years old and has never had anything to do with us, showed up at our place in his motorhome and asked if he could live on our property. My uncle is probably one of the most evil men you'll ever meet. Selfish, self-centered, foul-mouthed. He had three daughters. He had disowned them his whole life. They hated him, his three daughters. Would have nothing to do with him. So no family would have anything to do with him. So he showed up knowing his sister, my mom, was a Christian and would probably let him stay, but it wasn't her property. It's mine. So my mom goes, please let him stay. He needs Jesus. So my uncle moved up on our property in his motorhome. And he asked me if he could drink some beer on my property. And he said, the doctor told me I needed to drink at least 2 beers a day. I said, the doctor did not tell you that you needed to drink at least 2 beers a day. He probably told you you could drink 2 beers a day. Okay, that might be it, but he didn't tell you needed to. And I said, but if you get lonely, you can invite my dog over, and he'll come over and knock off a few with you, because long story short, we saved my dog's life with beer, okay? He drank antifreeze. You drink antifreeze, alcohol is the answer, okay? I'm just telling you the truth. We had to give him a whole six pack. He drank the whole six pack, and that's when I found out my dog was an alcoholic. But anyway, because he just sucked that thing right down. Whole six pack saved his life, though. It was either that or God. I want to lean toward God more than the alcohol, but it's funny because my brother-in-law is the one that found out, go get a six-pack of beer, and I said, I can't go get a six-pack of beer. I live in Tenasket. Everybody there knows me. I grew up there. They all know I'm a preacher. So it's not like I can walk into the local grocery store and set a six-pack of beer on the counter and say, it's for my dog. They're not going to believe me. You know, I told him that, so he brought the six-pack of beer up, and yeah, long story short. Anyway, my uncle drove me crazy. I mean, he was always trying to work things for himself. Irritating. It was hard to love him. But for my mom, I hung in there. My mom passed away of cancer. My uncle's still living on my property. Until he got to a place he couldn't take of himself, he moved into assisted living. And one night, I got a call from my uncle. I had talked to him about Jesus I don't know how many times, and he'd always say, I got Jesus. I've taken care of it in my own way. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird because he made you, and you're telling him how to do it. I think you need to reverse that and do it the way he wants you to do it because he's in charge. And I said, that would be a good deal. You know, maybe someday you'll figure that out. Well, he calls me one night from assisted living. He goes, Vern, I'm dying. That time he was 93 years old. And I said, Uncle Ray, how do you know? And he said, my doctor was just in here, just left. He said, I only got a couple months to live. And my body's just shutting down. He was crying on the phone. I go, what are you upset about? Because, see, I'm kind of weird about this. I'm dying too. So are you. You're just younger. Eventually, you're going to die. It's the only reason. I mean, that's the promise with all of us, right? Serious. When you're born, you die. I mean, everybody's going to die. In 100 years, all of us will be dead. Good luck with that. In heaven, you're alive, but not here, okay? In 100 years, none of us will be here. Somebody else will be sitting here. It's the way it is. Hard to face that fact when you're young because you think you have forever. And I remember older people telling me this all the time. You know, well, you know, life, the thing about life is time just passes so quick. And I was like, no, it doesn't, when I was young. Now that I'm 67, can I just tell you, life passes you pretty quick? It does. It's like a rocket. You'll find that out eventually. But I said to my uncle, I said, what's going on? You know, and he told me he was dying. I said, so what do you want me to do? He goes, can you come down here? I said, I'll be right there. So I drove up, walked in. I knelt down in front of his chair. I said, you know you need Jesus. He's the answer. You need him. Because when you die, you know where you're going to go. And he was crying. He says, I want to know. I said, well, let's pray. I led him in the sinner's prayer. My uncle, at 93 years old, found Jesus, and 2 months later, he went to be with Jesus. Can I explain a little bit how walking in the Spirit works? His daughter watched how we treated her dad, and suddenly she started showing up at her place too. See, you got to understand something about my mom's family. None of them are Christians. None of her sisters were Christians, her brothers. They all looked at us as weird. You know, but here, all of a sudden, Uncle Ray finds Jesus. Goes to be with Jesus. So suddenly, daughter starts, the oldest daughter starts showing up and talking to us. You know, right now, she's in my church. She's saved, serving Jesus. Yet, see, when you walk in the Spirit, people see something different. That's what the joy, the peace, the love, that's what it's all about. When you walk in the Spirit, when you're at work, you show something different. When you're at school, people see something different. It's why I led kids to the Lord while I was in school, because they saw that was something different. I had this one kid that used to make fun of me more than any other kids. I mean, he'd give me a hard time. He's the one that started the whole Brother Weaver thing. And then I'll get ready to close. But I got one more scripture. Roy had this, he just loved to torture me. When it was in grade school, it was all the short jokes. When he noticed that wasn't bothering me, it turned to be Brother Weaver. He gave me a hard time all the way through high school. Mocked me, used to stick Playboy magazines in my locker all the time. Because he knew, you know, I didn't want to see it, but he put it in there. And then he'd go, "Did you lose your Christianity this morning?" You know, ask me stuff like that. I mean, he was trying to push the button all the way through high school. The amazing thing is that by the junior and senior year, it started disappearing. When we graduated, you know how you, I don't know if you guys do this, but you pass your annuals around, everybody signs it. It was in your class, you know, all your friends and everything. And so everybody's filling out my, and I got it back one time, didn't know who all had it. And I found a letter from Roy. And Roy wrote this: "Of all the kids in school, I respected you the most because you stood for what you believed." See, God wants you to walk in the Spirit at school, where your friends see you, and because they're looking for an answer. You need to be it. God placed you there for a reason. You need to be the answer. You in your workplace, God placed you there to be the answer. You need to be the answer. You can't just push it off on somebody else. God put you where you are with a plan. Three or four years, Roy is busted for the biggest drug ring in Okanagan County history. Roy's family were ranchers. They had been horsebacking drugs back and forth across the Canadian border, money and drugs. And so when they were busted, they weren't busted by the local police. They were busted by the FBI, the Border Patrol, and ATF. I mean, they went right to federal trial in Spokane. 2 years later, I got a letter from Roy, which surprised me. And in this letter, Roy wrote, "Vern, I have never forgot your stand for Jesus in high school. And I wanted you to know the chaplain came into my jail cell this morning and led me to Jesus. Roy is out of jail, still serving Jesus." When you walk in the Spirit, you change lives. See, God has called you to change lives. He didn't call you to just worry about yourself and think. That's what the enemy wants you to do. That's what your flesh battles with, to worry about yourself and what people think and what they might make fun of you. So, God wants me to have an eternal perspective and not a temporary one. See, eternity is I'm going to spend forever with Jesus. This is just temporary. People can tease me, make fun of me. I like to wear, in Tenasket, everybody knows me, like I said, because I grew up there. I can walk in to Wilbur Ellis. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a chemical store because I have 2 acres of cherries about. I walk into this store to buy, sprays or whatever. All the farmers know me. In fact, they're not Christians. You can hear them talking when I'm walking in. The door opens. They see me and they go, "Shh, Pastor Weaver's here." See, God wants you to be that way, though, that you just love on people. You just love on people. That they see Jesus in you no matter how old you are, no matter, the people who have made the biggest mark on me in my life were people who loved me. When I was a kid, I was ADD. Good grief, I couldn't hold still in the pew. I drove all the older ladies crazy. I would turn around, look at them and go, you know, because I couldn't. And my mom would, you know, grab my head, turn me around because I had a hard time sitting still. Church was not an easy place for me. I understand little kids that wiggle. And so I'm always telling my church, hey, don't be bugged by that person because they're probably going to be a pastor someday. Just pray for them. You know, God wants us to love people and stop looking here. When I walk in the Spirit, when I let Him control me, I stop worrying about me and I start thinking more about Him. He finishes up the section in Galatians. I'm going to skip the one in Ephesians, because I've told way more stories than I planned on. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If I live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I live in a family where everybody's big. Okay, I'm married into this family where everybody's big. My in-laws are all the men are like 6'5 to 6'8, okay? So at Thanksgiving, all I look at is belly buttons all stinking day. But so when I first got married, I was very intimidated by this fact, so I started lifting weights. I wanted to be, if I was going to be in this big family, then I was going to be muscly, okay? I might be small, but I wanted to be muscly. So I'm pumping iron. I got up to where I could pump 200 pounds 10 times. Bench. 200 pounds 10 times. That's pretty good for a guy my size. Took me about 2 years to get there. And I was pretty proud of myself. But I was still looking at belly buttons. Man, it didn't change anything. It's not like my brother-in-law's all of a sudden looked at me like I was this massive dude. What I realized is we worry about the outside too much. We worry about what people see, and what people really see about you is not on the outside, but it's on the inside. What people really care about with you is not what everything looks like on the outside. It's what everything looks like on the inside, because the inside makes who you are. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, the inside is Jesus, and that's who they see. And I want people to see Jesus. And I know you do too. So here's the secret. There's the secret, okay? Spend time with Him. Not just at church, not once a week. I mean, if I'm going to be changed by somebody and be like them, I can't just visit them once in a great while. I've got to live with them. You know, this is the thing about all you young people, your parents, whether you like it or not, you're going to be like them in some way. You can say that. It's okay. Go ahead, say it. Doesn't matter. You will be like them in some ways. I have caught there are things I watched my dad do as a preacher that just irritated the bejeebies out of me. One was this. He put his hands in his pocket and play it with his keys. You could hear him rattling up there. And with a guy with ADD, you're listening to it, and you're going, stop, you know, just stop. And so one time I'm preaching, my hand went in my pocket, and I started playing with my keys, and I went, it's like I got burned. You know, so I know that thought is there, you know, that we don't want to be like them, but there are things that come across to us, whether we like it or not, we pick up some things maybe we never even thought we picked up. And we start being like our our parents. I've had too many kids over the years tell me, I will never be like my dad, who was an abuser. And next thing I know, they're an abuser. Or I've had boys tell me, I will never be an alcoholic like my parents are. Next thing I know, they're an alcoholic. I've had kids in my youth group who are already dead because they OD'd, or they were killed in a rollover accident because they were drunk. I know what it's like to try to fit into a world, but let me tell you something. God doesn't want me to fit in. He wants me to stand out. He wants me to stick out like a sore thumb. I am His. He is mine. And if I walk in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead me, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can be that person I need to be, and so can you. If you walk in the Spirit, let God lead you. That means you spend time with Him. And the more time I spend with Him, the more I reflect Him. And instead of being like my parents, I'm like Him. You have to decide who you want to be like. That's what you have to do. Can we just bow our heads? Heavenly Father, first of all, I just want to thank you that you love us enough that you call us. In fact, you sought me before I ever sought you. You knew all about me before I ever knew about you. You have loved me and every person in this room before we were ever born. You saw what our future could be. And you set it up so we'd even be here tonight. Not an accident, on purpose. You have a plan. You have called us. And you didn't just call us. You gave us this great gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful, Father, for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that you don't give up on us, Lord, but you continue to reach out to us, wanting to empower us that we can live a life that changes other lives, that affects them in a positive way. Lord God, help us tonight. Help us tonight to be willing to let go of everything else and just follow you. Help us, Lord. No matter what we've been going through, no matter what we think people think of us, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that people see Jesus in us. That when we leave a room, they wonder, what's different about that person? Why are they like that? Why are they kind when I'm mean to them? Why are they loving all the time? Why do they seem like they're always happy? I don't get why they're always happy. Because, Lord, you make us different. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit empowers us to live the life. And, Lord, if we let you fill us, we could change a world. And, Lord, our world needs change. Help us to be willing to say, that's me, Lord. Use me. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I would like to have a chance to pray with you. But what I want you to do is this. Could you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second? Nobody looking around. And I got to tell you, I am the pro at peeking, because when you have ADD, you're always looking, okay? So I know when you're peeking, because I've done all the tricks. So no one looking around. because I want this to be between you and God. Just you and him. Not you and somebody else. You and him. Just you and him. And I want you to ask yourself, am I living a life that's different where people see me and they see Jesus? Or am I too busy trying to fit in? When God, you have called me not to fit in. You called me to be different. You called me to make a difference. And he's called every one of you to make a difference. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to wait till you're an adult to make a difference. You can make a difference right now as a young person. You can make a difference right now as an older person. God just wants us to allow him to do the work in us. And all we have to do is say, Lord Jesus, that's me. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. Is there anyone here that would just slip up your hand and say, you know, I've been struggling with my walk with Christ, but I want to change that. I want to start walking in the Spirit with, so I would make a difference. Could you just lift up your hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whole bunch of us. Anybody else? Come on. Just a moment more. Just a moment more. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Can we all stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we do something different? I don't know, Pastor, if you do this or if it's okay if I do this. It's okay if I do this. Okay, I have permission. Can we just all come forward? Everybody, come on. Come on. Come on. Everybody, just crowd up here. Just pack up. Come on. Just pack on up here. Come on. The Bible describes us as different as we all are, and we're all different. It's a given. But God loves difference, seriously, because we couldn't reach everybody if there wasn't difference. Amen? It's true. We have to be. Have to be. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But there's one thing that's the same. See, I meet with a bunch of pastors in my town in Omak, the city of Omak. And they're from the Baptist. They're from the Foursquare. They're from the Free Methodist. They're from all different, Presbyterian. One of my favorite pastors is from the Presbyterian in Okanagan. He's 80-some years old. He is from Brazil. Speaks 7 languages. Loves Jesus. In fact, one time his prayer just so got me. As he's praying, he said, Father, I just want your Holy Spirit to come and fill us so that we can make a difference. And that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us as a group to say, Lord Jesus, fill us. We need to make a difference in a world. This world is so broken. It is. I look at the fighting about stupid things like politics and hateful things and the anger that goes back and forth up to people. I hate that because I just love everybody. I don't care what you do, what you are. Jesus gives us a love for everybody. Amen? He should. You know? I might not agree with you with everything, but I love you. Doesn't matter. So I want us to pray. And so we're as a group here, you know, we're the body of Christ. We're not just one person when we're all together like this. We all represent him together. Amen? Amen. So what I want us to do is pray. Can we all bow our heads? We're going to pray together. And I want you to invite, while I'm praying, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to rule in your life. Can you do that with me? Come on. You invite the Holy Spirit to rule in your life. That when you read that walk in the Spirit, you're letting him control you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this body of believers from young to old who just loves you, doesn't always understand, doesn't always get it, sometimes struggles with ourselves and gets mad at ourselves. But Lord God, we want to please you. So Lord, I pray over every person here. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Let us be filled with your Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us walk in the fullness of the Spirit, that, Lord, we would walk in it every day, that our world would see you, our schools would see you, our friends would see you, our neighbors would see you, our families would see you and wonder what that is that has changed us, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray it, Lord God. Right now, Lord God, by your Spirit, touch us, fill us, make us like you, Lord, that we can make a difference in this world. Lord, this world desperately needs to see Jesus. It doesn't need to see the Assemblies of God. It doesn't need to see the Four Square or the Baptist. It needs to see Jesus. And Lord, help us to so represent you that the world sees you in us, that we make a difference every single day that we live and breathe, that we make a difference, Father. In the name of Jesus, let it be that this body of Christ gets a hold of Christ in such a way they get a hold of you, Lord, in a powerful way. In the name of Jesus. And we know that, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.